Ja, lass uns die Verse
Amen.
aus dem Sendschreiben nochmal lesen.
Let us read the verses again.
Also
Revelation 2:14.
14 und 15.
14 and 15.
Wollt ihr nebenan mal lesen?
I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. Thus, you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth.
Amen. Amen. Ich habe ein weniges gegen dich, dass du solche dort
hast. A few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit sexual immorality.
Das ist das, was der Herr gegen diese Gemeinde hat.
This is what the Lord had against this church. And he told them that this was their problem. And to see what this means and what this shows us today, let's go and see the story of Balaam. This is in Numbers.
Und wir lesen ein paar Verse daraus. Und zwar
Numbers 22, starting from verse 4. God promised the children of Israel that they would come into the good land. And on the way there, they already destroyed many other nations. But as they were shortly before entering in, there were the Moabites. And their king, Balak, had heard what the children of Israel had done, and they were very fearful, the children of Israel.
And
he knew that he wouldn't be able to conquer them just with the sword. So he called a prophet, and his name was Balaam, and he was a prophet who lived among the Gentiles. He was not of the children of Israel, but he still received the word of God.
Balak
called to Balaam. He said he sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor at Pethor, which is near the river in the land of the sons of his people, to call him, saying, "Look, a people has come from Egypt. See, they cover the face of the earth and are settling next to me. Therefore, please come at once. Curse this people for me, for they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. For I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed."
Mehr als nur die Heereskraft, sondern
Balak knew that he needed more than just the strength of an army. He needed Balaam to curse
in dem nächsten
them.
Vers ist ein entscheidendes Problem, was bei Bileam war. Und
zwar, and then in verse 7, this is the decisive problem, crucial problem. So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the diviner's fee in their hand, and they came to Balaam and spoke to him the words of Balak.
Ja, weil Bileam hat gegen Geld das Wort des Herrn weitergegeben.
Balaam spoke the word of God for a fee.
Üblich, der Wahrsagelohn, den gab es öfter.
At that time, there was the diviner's fee. And in verse 8, but the real problem was, he said to them, "Lodge here tonight, and I will bring back word to you, as the Lord speaks to me." So the princes of Moab stayed with Balaam.
Und dann redet Gott mit Bileam.
And then God came to Balaam and said, "Who are these men with you?" So Balaam said to God, "Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, who has sent to me." And then God says, "You shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed." Verse 12. This is a very clear statement from God. Because God blesses these people, the people, and will not curse them. And then in verse 13, he didn't say, oh, God told me that these people are blessed. He says, the Lord has refused to give me permission to go with you. And then they go away. But then they come again. And Balak wanted to send people again to him with more gold, with more money, with more gifts. And in verse 17, he says, I will certainly honor you greatly, and I will do whatever you say to me. And in verse 18, Balaam answers, though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord of my God to do less or more.
Und das ist auch die richtige Antwort.
It's actually the right answer. That's the attitude that we need. If someone says, I will give you money to say this and that. But here we see that in Balaam's heart, the condition was not corresponding to what he said. There was something else in his heart. In verse 19, he says, now therefore, please, you also stay here tonight that I may know what more the Lord will say to me. Why does the Lord have to still speak to him? He said it already. He said, don't go with them. He said that this people is blessed, don't curse them. But Balaam still says, okay, just stay a little bit. And I'll see what the Lord may still say to me. And you can continue to read the story. Balaam even says to him, rise and go with him. And as I read this the first few times, I thought, this is kind of like contrary to what he said before. Because now he tells him to go with them. But then when he went, the angel of the Lord was sent as an adversary against him.
Aber das Problem dabei ist,
but the problem here was that Balaam did not accept the word of the Lord the first time around. In his heart, there was still this desire for the diviner's food. And in 2 Peter 2:15,
da redet er über Menschen, die den geraden Weg verlassen.
Here he speaks about people who left the straight way. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Peter saw through the situation. He knew what was in Balaam's heart. He loved the wages of righteousness. He didn't see the goods of this world as something that was just necessary as his sustenance, but he loved it. And this is what the Lord also accused the church of. You are dwelling where Satan's throne is. You love the world. Balaam's joy was not just to share the Lord's word alone, but he also loved the wages of unrighteousness. Actually, he loved what Balak offered him, the silver and the gold. He actually would have loved to have it. And Balak even said to him, in verse 17 of chapter 22 of Numbers, tell him that I will certainly honor you greatly, and I will do whatever you say to me. And as Balaam did come, then Balak said to him, in verse 37, did I not earnestly send to you, calling for you? Why did you not come to me? Am I not able to honor you? And Balaam wanted this honor. And we also want the honor of this world, material goods, and also honor and recognition from other people. And if we love this and we're dependent on this, yeah, then we're going a way that does not please God.
Wenn Gott ihn nicht noch gebraucht hätte für eine Sache, dann hätte der Engel ihn dort schon getötet.
God not needed Balaam for something else, the angel would have killed him right away. But for Balaam, there was no good end. He didn't curse Israel, but blessed Israel. But at the end, the children of Israel killed him. Because this sickness that he had of loving the world, he didn't just leave it and keep it for himself, but he it was contagious.
Aber Bileam hat noch etwas.
Balaam spoke the blessing over the Israel, over Israel, but he did something very clever, but also very wicked, that brought Israel to fall. In Revelation 2, it says that Balak taught him something, or who taught Balak. Who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. How did Balaam do this? What did he do?
Das kann man gleich in dem nächsten Abschnitt lesen, nach der Geschichte mit Bileam.
You can see this also
Geschichte ändert in Kapitel 24 und
in Chapter 24 and 25 of Numbers. He taught them to eat things sacrificed to idols. And in chapter 25, it's described how this worked. And here in Numbers 25, in verse 1, it says, Now Israel began to commit harlotry with the women of Moab. They invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods.
Bileam hat also Balak den Tipp gegeben, schick doch deine Frauen nach Israel.
Gave Balak the tip, send your women to Israel. Those who sacrifice to their gods, who bow down to idols, who eat and bow down to their gods. If there's such mixture, then you can bring them to fall because God will turn against his own people, or the people.
Und das war eine Strategie, die funktioniert.
And this was the strategy that worked, that functioned. And people, the children of Israel committed harlotry with the women of Moab. And it went so far that they didn't even do it in secret. It became normal. And as some mourned concerning the condition and situation of the children of Israel, there was someone who did it very openly in Numbers 25:6. And indeed, one of the children of Israel came and presented to his brethren a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Oh, Lord.
Als geht es, ja, das ist dann die Rettung. Aber das sieht man
vorne. In Vers 7, we see the salvation. But he did this before everybody. And he then went into the tent. Now when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her body. So the plague was stopped among the children of Israel.
Und das ist eine wirklich starke Sache.
And this is a strong matter. This is like the strategy of the enemy that we have seen at the beginning. If he didn't make it, by destroying the people through warring against God's people, he uses another strategy, which is mixture. And Balak is also a picture of the enemy. He sends his women so that we would commit harlotry with them. And he does it in a very inconspicuous way. It can be small things. It's a very subtle process where the women of Moab came. And it starts with us, that we start to love the world just in one matter. And then we start to develop a relationship with this. And then comes another woman, and then another person. And then we develop a relationship with that. And one after the other, the women of Moab come, until at the end, were full of it until the people are fully mixed with this. And I thought, okay, maybe it was just a few of these people. But if you read in verse 9, you see it wasn't just one or two people who fell, but the plague came, and those who died in the plague were 24,000. This was not a small matter. It really broke out in great measure. And I realized this also in my life. The enemy constantly tries to make my love for the Lord grow cold through the women of Moab, through material things, that I love them, that I think about them, to think about what I can buy for myself, or to cling to the news or what people say. It can be so many things that are small things, but they will take away our love from the Lord. And I'm sure, and I know, that it's like this among us because the enemy is crafty, and that's his strategy, and we shouldn't be naive and say, oh, hopefully this won't happen to us. No, I'm convinced that this happens. And the enemy succeeds again and again. But there is a solution. He is the one, the Lord is the one who presents himself as the one who has a sharp two-edged sword. But Phinehas, he also took his sword, and he didn't tolerate this. And he saw that there was mixture. He went, and he didn't speak. He didn't try to convince. He took the sword, the javelin, and he ended it in a short way, in a quick way. And this is also the solution for us. We realize that our flesh begins to love other things, and that mixture has entered in. Then we shouldn't try to say, okay, I'll deal with it later. If we see this and the Lord exposes this, then we have to be like Phinehas, take the javelin and cut it off and even pierce through, thrust it through, because God hates it. That's why the plague came upon the children of Israel. And the Lord said in the epistle, if you do not repent, then I will war against you with my own sword. This cannot happen to us. This was the worst for the children of Israel when God was against them, because then they couldn't do anything else. Then they only lost, and there was one plague after the other. Yeah, and this is a horrible situation from which we need to get out. We cannot make compromises. We have to get out, and we have to clearly make a separation. I called a brother this week, and we had fellowship about where our hearts have already been won by the women of Moab. And we, what about what I read, what I look at online, what about the news, how much do I look at my phone to answer texts or to read things that are not good. And we went through a couple of points or a few points. And we realized that things had crawled in. And I didn't even realize it, but I only realized it after I cut it off. And we said, okay, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to cut it off. I'm not going to take that much time to look at these things or to look at my phone. And if I look for something, I set a time limit for myself. And I won't look at anything else that's suggested for me online. And as I carried this out, I realized I became free from this matter. And I realized that it came in subtly. And I've done this more often now to see and take account, take stock and see what has creeped into my life.
Und etwas, was ich dadurch auch bekommen habe von dem
Herrn. That I also received from the Lord is that when we cut these things off, Jesus hat das hier genannt, Jesus called these things and said that through this mixture, yeah, they started to eat things sacrificed from idols. That means you nourish yourself with something. It fills your heart, makes your heart fat and hard against the Lord. But if the things are removed from your hearts, then there is the reward, namely those who overcome will be given to eat of the hidden manna. And this is what the Lord wants to give us to eat. He wants to give his people to eat of the hidden manna. But if we decide ourselves for the things sacrificed to idols, there's no more room for the hidden manna. But if we stop eating things sacrificed to idols, then the Lord, there's room for the Lord to give us to eat of the hidden manna.
Amen.
Amen. Das zweite System, was der Herr auch noch
the second system that the Lord criticizes is verse 15. Thus, you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate.
Was meint der Herr damit und was will er uns auch heute zeigen?
What does the Lord want to show us with this? The word Nicolaitans is comprised of Nico and laity. So clergy and laity. Yeah, the laity are those who have nothing to say.
Etwas, was schon mal vorkam, wenn wir uns erinnern. Ephesus hat der Herr.
And in Ephesus, in the to the church in Ephesus, the Lord says. That you hated the work of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. What are the works of the Nicolaitans? It's when saints rule over other saints, and where there's a clergy laity system, where there are some who are higher and some who are lower, and that we rule over one another. This does not come from the Lord. He also shows this in Matthew 20,
in Vers 25.
In verse 25.
Da sagt er, Jesus aber rief,
but Jesus called to them, called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. Amen.
Und so wie der Sohn des Menschen nicht gekommen ist, um sich
And just as the Son of Man, verse 28, did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. This system is a system in which some rule over others and exercise great authority or exercise authority over them. This system is from the world. It doesn't come from the Lord. So here we also see a mixture with the world. In the world, we know this, there's a boss and then there are other people that don't have a say. It's like in a very hierarchical structure. And there are people that just listen and don't say anything. But with the Lord, it's not like this. We can't take this just from the world. Yeah, transfer it to us. Matthew 23:8 says, but you do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. And in Ephesus, they all had this consciousness. They hated these works. But it shows that this already existed. That means that some people exercised authority over others and ruled over them, and that they put people under them, and that hierarchy came in.
Bei uns ist es heute eher anders.
But with us, it's a
von dem, was ich bisher gesehen habe, ist das Problem,
a little different.
The
problem is not only with those who want to rule, but we're living in a culture today where people like to keep the mouth shut and like to be laity and listen, because it's easy, it's comfortable, it's just sitting and consuming, and then I'm not so challenged or not as demanding. And this system is supported by this, because you need not only the people who want to rule, but you also need the majority who like to be the laity and like to listen. And that's the problem. There are many that like to be in this passivity. And then automatically, there's lack that arises. So if people don't contribute, then there's a lack. And this lack has to be somehow filled.
füllen, die schon aktiv sind.
And the lack is filled by those who are already active. And this brings the system of the clergy-laden system, so that there are some who are always pushed more to the foreground, and there are other people who lean back to passivity. And I realize how there's often criticism in me where someone prays a lot and I think, oh, someone prayed already the fourth time in a short amount of time. And I think, oh, why is he already praying the fourth time? Does he want to rule or make himself great? But then if I think, how often have I prayed? And the number is zero number of prayers, then I realize it's clear why there is this imbalance. So if we don't want this system to arise, and we have to say the system is among us. We do have the works of the Nicolaitans, but let us not hold fast to the doctrine because he hates this. He doesn't want it to be among us. Yeah. And let us take the way of the Lord to come out. He gave us the solution. In 1 Corinthians 14, he shows us how we can come out of the situation. Verse 26. How is it then, brethren? Whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. We know this verse, but just because we know this verse, let us not make our hearts hard. Let us receive this word again. I was reminded of Ezekiel, that the hearts of the people became like flint. It was as hard as flint. Nothing was able to go in. And this can't be among us. If we realize our heart goes into this direction, take away my hardness. I make my heart soft again. I want to receive and accept your word. Yeah, and here it says that each one has a psalm, a teaching, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. There's something for each one of us. There is no excuse. And it also says spiritual songs. We can also encourage each other through that. There's nothing where you can say, we can even say, Amen. And yeah, we can also send verses to one another. And there's no reason for us to be hindered, that we can't bring something. And God even demands it of us. He wants all the riches that he has given us, that it would be expressed. Amen. He wants us to together praise his name, to give one another food, that we all would lift up our voices to him, that we would all pray, because we all belong to one body. He didn't say that some are the head and the rest have to submit themselves. But in 1 Corinthians 12,
da sagt in 1. Korinther 12,
it says in 1 Corinthians 12, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ.
Und an anderer Stelle sagt dass das Haupt ist und wir sind die Glieder.
And he is the head and we are the members of his body.
In Abvers 15, da heißt es,
starting from verse 15, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased.
Wir können nicht sagen in der Versammlung,
we can't say in the meeting, I'm not an eye, so I haven't seen what others have seen, so I can't say anything. Maybe if I didn't understand something or I don't know what's happening, just because I haven't seen it doesn't mean that I have to remain silent. Maybe we're an ear. Maybe we have heard something from the Lord that others haven't heard. Because the Lord has given us many things that we can also give to others. And if we haven't heard anything, then maybe we're a nose. And we need the nose to smell out leaven. And if we smell the leaven, then the leaven will grow. So there's no excuse. Each one of us has a function. And he made it as he, just as he pleased. And we can't say, oh, I would love to be different. And then if I were someone else or different, then I would say more. No, the Lord has put us in the body just as he pleased to carry out our function. And we need to carry out this function. And then automatically there's no clergy laity system. And everyone is happy for the riches that there are. And no one has to jump in and fill the lack or the gap, because the Lord is the one who fills the gap. It's not just one or two brothers, but all the members who are in his body.
Herr Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Lass uns noch das Sendschreiben fertig lesen.
Let us finish reading the epistle.
Noch Vers 16 und 17. Wollt ihr
16 und 17. Starnecker Straße noch mal lesen?
Offenbarung 2, 16 und 17.
Repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. And I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it.
Amen. Amen. Ja, das wollen wir nicht. Ich möchte das nicht erleben, dass der Herr gegen uns Krieg führt.
I don't want to experience the Lord having to fight against us. But if we don't deal with these things, he will have to fight against us. But we want to be those who have an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And we also want to overcome. Yeah, to him who overcomes. And the opportunity to overcome is now. It's always now. It's not tomorrow or the day after tomorrow. I had an experience.
Heißt ja hier, dass es mal an der Lehre festhält.
Here it says that they held fast to the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And in Ephesus it talks about the works of the Nicolaitans. But if we talk about the doctrine, that means it's already become, something that has creeped in and become part of it. And so habits develop very quickly. Recently there was a conference. And it was about serving in the sharing of the word. But in my soul, I said, I don't want to serve in this matter. And I knew that this was not right. And I can't just take myself out of the responsibility. But I did it, and I did it somewhat in secret. And then I said, okay, next time I'll be there and serve with the brothers on the word. And this was a real deception of the enemy, because next time I wanted to share even less, because I said I'll do it later, but it's really a deception where it's self-deception. And next time I really had to repent, and it was much harder to repent, to not to stand again in this responsibility. And it's the same thing with prayer, to say I'm not going to pray now. But next time, it's not going to be easier. The more we cling to these habits, then they will establish themselves in us. So we have to take the sword and say, no, I cut it off. I'm not going to let these thoughts dwell in me. I repent now. I'm going to overcome now, and I will not delay. And then we will overcome. And this white stone shows us a very good example. Often in the meetings, I'm scared to say something, and then I'll think, oh, what will the others think about what I have to say? But this white stone, it says there's a new name written on it. And I may think, oh, that's good. The Lord will give me a new name. I want to tell everybody now the new name he will give me. But it says, a new name which no one knows except him who receives it. So that's not according to my concept. I want everyone to know the good things about me, and I want no one to know about the bad things about me. But this stone shows the special relationship between the Lord and us. He gives us a personal name, a name that expresses the relationship that we have with him. And it's not for other people to look at us and to say, oh, how wonderful, how great, look at what a great name you have. But it's a personal thing between us and the Lord. And this is what we have to learn now. In the church life, it's not about what other people think about us, if our contribution was good or not. These thoughts often want to come to me when I share, and the enemy tries to attack me in this and to say, you have to give a good message, and hopefully people will think good of you. And I take the javelin and I say, no, that's not what it's about. It's about the Lord speaking. In the prayer meeting, it's our praying to the Lord. And it's not about other people thinking that we have prayed a good prayer, because the reward comes only from him. If we learn to live in such a way, then we will be well-pleasing to him, and then we will receive this stone. We shouldn't seek honor and recognition from the world and to be something in this world, nor should we seek it from the other saints. Psalm 73, there's also a good verse in here. Psalm 73. Amen. Verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. This is what the psalmist says to God. Yeah, I want to have this fully in my heart, that I have no other desire besides the Lord, no desire for recognition from the world, from others, but I want to have my whole desire upon the Lord, that he would give me this white stone and that he would say, well done, like he says to the servant in Matthew. And this should be the only thing that I should long for and strive for in my life. Amen.
Herr, wir loben dich, Herr.
Amen. Lord, we praise you. We pray that your word would divide and separate more in us, that all of us in your house would be focused upon you, that we would all do our part for the building up of the church. Lord, you are our master, and we are all brethren. Lord, we thank you for the reality in Zion.
Ja, Herr, wir danken dir, dass du uns geliebt hast.
Thank you, Lord, that you have loved us, and that through this love we can overcome. And thank you that you have given us this faith. Thank you, you give us the strength to be in this faith. 1 John 5:4. Amen. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Thank you that you are the Son, that you live and you live in us.
Yeah, pray that your life in us would be more and more revealed.
Danke, Jesus. Amen. Danke, Amen. Ja, lob den Herrn.
Sorry.
Ich wollte noch kurz die, weil doch einige Fragen, die Möglichkeit aufzeigen, woher wir die Aufnahmen und die Unterlagen von der Konferenz.
Just want to show you where you can get the information, or the messages and also the documents for the conference.